Like I said earlier at the beginning, topic tonight is the pathfinders. And what does that mean? Most of us, we always feel we need a path. That we need to follow that leads to God. And that's the only way we can feel the presence of God and merge into oneness with God. But experience has shown that when we look at the trailblazers, the ones God have chosen to bring that universal message to any of us from eons of years, they don't follow a path. People might say, well, we don't know that. Let's start with Jesus. Yeah, Jesus was born into the Jewish culture, and he was raised. But that wasn't his path. Because he used that to show others that the only thing you need is universal love. So the priest and others, they were following a path. Jesus didn't do that. He brought that universal law. And then the others who came after turned it into a path, which they call Christianity. Because whenever there is a path, it shows that God or that universal power is not present, that there's a separation between us and God. We need to move from here to get there where God is. That's why we create a path. You cannot come to this ashram without the road. So they pave the road and it becomes a path. Muhammad didn't have a path. He was born into a culture. He did whatever he can until the divine spiritual archangel Gabriel shows up and says, I want you to teach this. And then he became a path for those who came after. Buddha didn't have a path. He was a Hindu man, a Hindu prince. People keep forgetting that. Until that inner thing tells him there has to be more to this than, you know, what his parents tried to seclude him from when he sees the suffering. And then what happened? Buddhism became a path. Moses didn't have a path. Though he was born in Egypt, was raised as a prince, he learned some things, but when his time came, did he follow that? No. God called him, this is what I want you to do. I want you to preach this universal thing. So when we look all around us, the trailblazers, none of them had a path. There is that uniqueness, that oneness with the Spirit of God. Abraham didn't have a path. And of course, we know Sarah definitely doesn't have a path. So when we begin to look, so it's a misnomer to say we need to follow a path. Here's one of what I wrote down years ago. The notion of a path means there is distance. In our spirituality, there is no distance between us and God unless we created that distance by our thoughts, acts, and words. Because if we didn't think we are separated from God, we're not separated from God. Nobody can push us to say we're separated from God. Therefore, we do not need a path to find that which is within us. All we have to do is be present now. And that's what God wants from all our children, period. That's it. But we're always running away, and God says, where are you going? I'm your mother. I'm your father. You can't go anywhere that I'm not. So why are you turning your back and saying, no? I've given you everything you need to enjoy life more abundantly. It's only when you put your distance, that's when chaos comes in and all kinds of things beat us up. The difference between an ordinary person and a spiritual, let's use that word, or divine person, is positive thoughts and form. Why? Because God lives in that positive places. There is no separation. Because thinking we are separated, there's nothing positive about that. What the ordinary human or man or woman finds impossible, now, quote and unquote, the pathfinders find inevitable. Because that's why we're all choosing a path. Okay. Well, it looks like something is coming to eat me up. I need that to get me. So the question we need to ask ourselves is this. So what are we going to be? An ordinary person or a pathfinder? The decision is all ours to make. Because in the process of finding a path, then you will find out you actually don't need a path. And then you give it up. And that allows you can claim to be a Christian, to be Jewish, to be a Muslim, to be a Hindu. You can claim anything, because one thing they all have in common, in spite of beating each other up, is that the one that the divine sent, all they talked about is the universal oneness, that love. And that's all there is. And that's why any of those trailblazers will tell you, quote and unquote, hate sin, S-I-N, and you will have self-control. Because sin itself is negative. In other words, you don't see yourself worthy. I mean, the mind is creating its own. It's creating that separation. Anytime we create separation, that's what we call sin. Well, if you hate that part that makes you disconnect yourself from the divine oneness that you are in, then you have self-control. Then the mind cannot influence you to do something you don't want to do. Nobody can tell you, well, you think you are all that. It doesn't matter what anybody say. God bless the soul of my father. What did he say? They say. Who say? What they say? Let them say. So when somebody tells you, oh, you're not a child of God, you are separate from God, don't argue with them, say thank you, but you know you are not. So when that thought comes to you, which is not yours, because somebody else projected it into the ethers, into that environment, and is coming at you, let it be. Don't befriend it. Hate sin and you will have self-control. Hate the sinner and you will be forsaken by God and his divine law of love. See, law of love. That's why you can't hate anyone, because none of us is perfect. You may not like what they do. It's okay. You can have your opinion about that. But never condemn them, because you cannot see yourself doing that. If you do, you will be forsaken by God and his divine law of love. And how does God forsake us? That is the key. You find that you are no longer living your own life the way you should. It doesn't mean God will totally abandon you. God just say, okay, your thought is what separates you from me. It's what has kept you from me. Now you see, without me, how is life going for you? Though God created the day-to-day drama that humans experiences, yet he did not suggest that individualized souls be afraid or courageous, miserable or happy. These are all our own thoughts creating that. I'm sad, I'm happy, I'm this. It's always the opposite. But there's only one thing that functions, that doesn't take sides. That is love. It's the law of love. Fear, courage, miserable, happy, these are our own creations. Our feeling of expressions of likes and dislikes are entirely responsible for the bondage of the soul. I don't know about you, I don't want to live in bondage anymore, because it has never served me. Because when the soul is in bondage to the body, an earthly environment, it cannot be his own guiding light. That light, God gave it to us as part of our birthright. Now I'm going to try to wrap this up now. Please hear this clearly. Do not seek after what you yearn for. Seek the source of the yearning itself. If you can yearn for the source, everything's all right then. I remember a long time ago, probably before I met most of you, somebody asked me, because this came out of one of my journals I put together. I said, oh, I totally forgot about it, just like the note I read. What is the best thing I can do for my awakening? I said, okay, well, let Spirit speak. Because I also want to hear what Spirit says about that. How do I? The answer that came was, be with an enlightened teacher and listen. And the greatest teacher of all that I know is the Spirit that lives in each and every one of us. Not a physical teacher, because you already have the master in there. And all you have to do is be with that and listen because it's always ready. So there's no need to say we're separated. Then it went on. What I mean by that is, don't concern yourself with your mind's interpretation of the words. Oh, the mind has a way of doing it to us, isn't it? If it doesn't come from us, it will come from somebody else who is telling us we're not up to it, we're not it. My mama say you are not it. Just let the words that teacher will tell you. If you listen well, just let the words in without thinking about them or trying to understand them. Because once you get to that point where you are not thinking about, let it just come straight on. Then they can penetrate to a place that is beyond the mind. Because we came from that place that is beyond the mind. And instead of your mind hearing them, yourself hears them. The self is big capital self. Doing this, I didn't even know that I could use that word. Doing this elicits what the words are meant to convey, the self. If you are not running the words through the mind, they go beyond the ego to silence and to the heart. That's the best way, best thing to do to be awakened. Don't filter what spirit, that divine teacher in you is telling you through the mind. The mind will always corrupt it. And finally, he says, the door to God, the door, you know, is the insecurity of not knowing anything. Bear the grace of that insecurity, and all wisdom will be yours. May that divine love, our greatest teacher, may we never abandon it. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.